happening over here. So some of you guys may know me, some of you guys may know me. So you were probably greeted this morning by some of the youth. There is the, oh, I'm breaking the place. There is the photo booth as well. So the youth are involved this morning, and we're going to get some of the youth up on stage here. And we're going to do some songs, and we're going to do some reading, and we're going to get show you guys some of our youth groups. So if Thomas and Anastasia would like to come up. Now, you've probably heard Thomas, he does play on worship, but he just picked up a new instrument. And so they've been working on this song. I will hand this to you.
I just got to sit up.
Down there. So this is a song that actually my wife had heard, and it's about moms. And so they've been practicing, and so they're going to sing this song for you guys now. Are you ready, bud? You're good. Just grab your oog.
No, I need that chair. It's weird.
There isn't.
Okay, well, we'll see how this goes.
Good.
I'm coming through.
Right. What's that?
We're good?
It is.
We'll see how this goes. Ready?
She talks to me with angel eyes. All of her sacrifice. Every sleepless night. Every tear that she cries. I don't think she knows. But I want her to know. She means the world to me. No matter how hard things could be, she always gives her best. Great face nevertheless. I don't think she knows, but I want her to know. If she never knew, then I'd tell her the truth. I'd tell her you. You bring sunshine to my life. You're everything that's right. And when you smile, I feel on top of the world. And I hope that I can make you proud. Appreciate you now. I just want you to know that you're the queen of my heart. She helped to grow. I just think that you should know. She is the best for sure. I don't think she knows, but I want her to know. And if she never knew, then I'd tell her the truth. I'd tell her you bring sunshine to my life. You're everything that's right. And when you smile, I feel on top of the world. And I hope that I can make you proud. Appreciate you now. I just want you to know that you're the queen of my heart. That you're the queen of my heart.
There you go. There's a future worship team right there. Right? Okay. Now, I'm going to call someone up who we all know and we all love. Jeremiah. I'm just thinking this might be too high for you. Here he is with his smile. Always got a smile, right? Yup. Okay. So Jeremiah's going to be doing a reading this morning. He says he's good, so you're good. Where is this from?
Proverbs 31:12.
Yep. So from Proverbs. So Jeremiah, do you want me to hold the mic? You can hold the mic.
Yep. Okay. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised.
Amen.
You good?
Good. Go sit down now. Okay. He's the smiliest kid I know. He is. Mom's done a good job. Right, Mom? She has. So I'm going to be brief, because Chris has got a lot to say, he said. But I do have a couple of things I'd like to say. So when I was kind of thinking about Mother's Day, and you automatically think of your mother, right? It's natural. You think of the person in your life who raised you, your mother. And then I thought, as I was looking at the youth group, that's not necessarily your mom. Because in 2018, some of these kids now don't have a mom or a traditional mom. Some of these kids, especially even in our youth group, are being raised by someone who's not mom. But that doesn't mean they're not mom. Just because you're not biologically a child's mom does not mean that you cannot love that child like a mother. And we have that right here in this room. We have that in the community right now, where single moms are raising children and having to do both jobs. And in some instances, it's single dads who have to be moms because they're on their own. It's 2018, and the two-parent, two-kids car, it just doesn't happen anymore. It's unfortunate. So I was looking at examples of moms, and I, of course, looked at my mom. And my mom was a single mom, and so for a time, and until a wonderful man stepped into my life and stepped up and became my dad, I was a single, I had a single mom. And so she's my example. She's my role model. She's the woman who gave me my morals. She's the woman who gave me my heart. And I was blessed to have a second mom who, and I'm looking at my wife because I'm going to cry if I talk about her, who, Julie's mom, who some of you I know knew, was amazing and loving and kind. And everything that we talked about and Pastor Ken preached about from Corinthians, that was Julie's mom. Like, loving and patient and kind and caring and nurturing and never angry and always saw the good in people and always was encouraging. And you don't have to be, and she wasn't my mom, but that's how she was with me, and she was like that with her grandchildren, and that's how she was. And so I was right, and I was thinking, like, what is a mother in 2018 anyway? Like, what is it? Like, we have the sign up to be a grandparent, because some of these kids, they don't have that female role model in their life. And we always talk about it is important to have a male role model in kids' lives, especially boys. They need a strong man who will guide them and just kind of go, that's maybe not the best thing to do, as sometimes I have to do on a Friday night when I'm herding the cats of the youth group. I saw a great picture of it was, what people think I do, and the one, and the youth leader, what people think I do. And the last one was, from Jurassic Park, where he's herding the raptors. That's youth group on a Friday night. I'm kind of, stay there. So, unfortunately, that's kind of how it is. But a mom is strong, hardworking, patient, loving, kind. Everything we saw in that video this morning is true. The look. I looked at Jeremiah and says, Mama's got a look. And he went, mm-hmm. See? We all moms have a look, and they don't even know it, right? My mom would just look at me, and I'd be like, the homework. Do you have homework? No. Mm-hmm. How does that work? Yeah, see? Mine's looking at me going, yeah, she knows. She knows. So what I was doing was I was kind of sitting down and going, okay, well, let's look at this from a different... So I've kind of come at things from a little bit different perspective here, and looking at where God was leading me to kind of thinking. I've got a couple of verses that aren't the traditional Mother's Day verses. We've, Jeremiah read one, honor thy mother and father, but I kind of was like, let's go out the box a little bit. They're giving me the microphone. This may be the last time I ever get to do this, so let's go outside the box here a little bit, right? So I was reading through, and this to me struck me, Proverbs 22:6, and this really kind of hit me. Start a youth out on his way, and even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Your influence on your children is huge. You may not think they're watching you. They're watching you. You may not think they're watching your actions and watching what you're doing. They're watching you Always, because you are the person that they're molding, they get their worldview from. And it's important. And so when you see moms love and hug, and you know, we're a bit of a huggy family. So it's funny when, and you should see us at youth, the kids hug each other all the time. And some people, I encourage it because it's love. We have a group of kids now who love each other. And they've modeled that on not just our behavior, but they watch my wife. They watch Julie. And they watch her unconditionally love these kids, right? Which is something women do a lot easier than guys. It's true. Because when I look at this, this quote struck me. And this is from the Golden Girls. Some of you may remember the Golden Girls. And I read this and I thought, uh-huh. Dorothy from the Golden Girls said, it's not easy being a mother. If it was easy, fathers would do it. It's true. Right? Like you saw. Do you think I could do what that woman was doing up there? It's just, it's not going to happen because men are wired differently than women. It just is. And I know women get frustrated with their husbands sometimes when they don't do the things that they're meant to do. But that's because the women are going, I got this, and I got this, I got this. And the guy's going, well, the football game's on. Oh, I want to watch the hockey game. Right? We're not seeing that. The mothers are looking at it going, no, my son or daughter has to be prepared for this and this. We're going, oh, I'll make a sandwich. So it's important that women step up to that. And they do it naturally. They don't even do it think consciously. They just do it. Right? They just do it. And it's just one of those things where I sometimes look at my wife or even look at my mom looking back going, wow, I couldn't do that. That's why we have moms. Moms are amazing. They're absolutely amazing. So again, looking at this from kind of a different way I was doing things. So the role of mother in 2018 is under more pressure from outward society than ever before. It is, right? Moms are now go out to work. Back in the day, they didn't work. And that's the product of society. Moms have to work. Moms want to work, okay? But there's no such thing, even as a stay-at-home mom, as a mom who doesn't work, right? All moms work. And so if you stay at home and become a stay-at-home mom, don't think you're not working, because you are working. You are working in your children's lives every day. When they look at you and you wake up and their lunch is ready to go and you're sending them out the door or you're packing them into the car to take them to school, they have no concept of what you've done to get them to that point. You know, the fact that their shoes are on the right feet and they're walking out the door is an accomplishment for them. But the fact that they're walking out, right? See, the fact that they're walking out and everything's ready to go, that's because mom did it. It wasn't dad. Mom did it, right? So Paul, when he was writing to the Galatians, now this is, again, I'm looking for non-traditional Mother's Day stuff here, and I was looking through this stuff. And I read this and went, you know, you read something in the Bible and you go, that's not what it was, but I can read it this way. And that's what I did. So Galatians 6:9, let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Moms don't give up. Moms don't give up on their kids. And so they're sowing into their children all the time. Their values, loving people, not judging people, right? Taking them for who they are and just being a good person. And that's what moms do. And sometimes they do it. In fact, most of the times they do it. And it's not a conscious thing. They just do it because that's the way that God has wired them. He's wired them that way. And that's why we're wired differently, right? And that's why there are two roles in a family, in a household. A man, wife, mother, father. And unfortunately, sometimes mom has to do both jobs. Dad has to do both jobs. Those people are exceptional. Those people are amazing. I couldn't do both jobs. Those people are unbelievable and deserve all the credit that they get. And sometimes it's not much. So all mothers are working mothers, all of them. So I just want to wrap up, because Chris is itching to go. Look at him. He's dying to get up here. Mother's Day is special for everyone. It's especially special for me because my mother is thousands of miles away in England. And so I look back now in my early 40s, and I look back, 35, right, Julie? Where's Julie? I look back, and I always say, we've all done this. As kids, I'm never going to say that to my kid. right? We all, why do I need to do that? Because I said so. I never liked that phrase. And I always said, I'm never going to say that to my kid. And then you hear yourself saying it and you're like, oh, right. I did say it last night. Because it's just easy. Because sometimes you just want to, you know, just go and do as I told you to do. Because I know best. Because moms do know best. Dads do what moms tell them to do. But moms know best. And it's true. I mean, you know, like I said, lunatics run in the asylum, right? I know the men wear the pants in the house. We wear pants physically. That's about it. Because a woman is strong and she is looking at what's ahead. Whereas we're looking a little bit, I am looking a little bit more immediately at what's right in front of my nose. So I love Mother's Day, but it's like Valentine's Day to me. If you need a day, a special day to tell the special person in your life that you love them, you're doing something wrong, right? You shouldn't need a special day created by Hallmark to say, I love you and here's some flowers, right? It's the same with your mom and Father's Day, right? All these days that they have created, and I mean, pick a day. Everyone's got a day now. I'm waiting for photocopier tech day. It's coming. It's coming, right? That's what I'm waiting for. So, but you don't need a special day to tell mom that you love them. And so if mom is long distant like mine is right now, reach out and phone your mom. If mom's not with you anymore, pray to your mom. Talk to mom because she's listening to you, right? And just say, I love you and thank you. Because I thank my mom all the time. And I think, I wish I'd have listened more when I was, you know, his age. Because she's kind of smart. Mom's kind of smart. So that's all I got to say this morning. Guys, please, I just encourage you, reach out. Give your mom a hug and a kiss. Give her a call on the phone. Say, I love you. But don't just do it today, right? Make it a habit. Oh, that's mine. And so with that, we're going to pass to Ben. Man, the youth, we just come in here. And then he's going to lead over to Chris. Good? There you go, mate.
I'll keep it brief because I hear Chris has a lot to share. And despite appearances, it's not dressed like your small group leader day. It was just coincidence. So when Chris reached out to us young adults, he asked, what do you want to do to help out with the Mother's Day service? And some of us were feeling more comfortable with ushering or greeting or whatever we could do. And he asked if any of us wanted to talk, where the room turned very silent. And I said, well, I'll think about it. So here I am. And I didn't exactly know what to talk about, and I guess the instructions are kind of in the name, Mother's Day. What should I talk about? Maybe mothers. But I was midway through a chest press at the gym, and God kind of sent a message. He said, I don't want you to talk about mothers. I want you to talk about peace. And nearly collapsing, I thought, okay, well, we'll do it your way. So I'm here to share with you a story of a man named William Borden and what he did and what he said. Borden was the heir to his family fortune and had a great deal of wealth. He attended Yale in 1905 and was noted by his peers for his deep relationship with Christ, which was more notable than his status of being a millionaire. Previously, at 16 years old, he was presented with a trip around the world, which opened his eyes to the hurt and poverty. This was instrumental to developing his heart to help those who are suffering. By the end of Borden's first year at Yale, he began a small morning prayer group, which grew steadily into Bible studies. At the end of his first year, 150 students attended weekly meetings to study the Bible and pray. By the time he was a senior, only 300 students at Yale did not attend these groups. So that means that these groups were over 1,000 people. Yet nearly his entire ministry was not concerned with growing Bible study groups, but rather to seek out the widows, orphans, drunks, disabled people, and care for them with the same love Christ demonstrated. Through school, Borden received a call from God to become a missionary, specifically to serve Muslim people in China. Even though at this time he was a millionaire, he did not let his wealth take him away from God's opportunity. Many suggested, including his father, he was throwing his life away, and also the financial opportunity that came along with his inheritance. Upon hearing this, Borden wrote two words in the back of his Bible: no reserves. With graduation came various job offers and temptations to live a comfortable life, free from financial stress and all the material possessions a person could want. At this time, he wrote another two words in his Bible: no retreats. He declined all the job offers and headed to Princeton Seminary in New Jersey, where he finished a graduate degree. Borden's life hope was to work with those outside of his own country and required an education in the language of Arabic. So, en route to his final destination in China, he decided to make a stop in Egypt, where he arranged to learn the language. At the height of his ministry, 25-year-old millionaire William Borden had thousands of supporters back at home praying for his upcoming mission. After all, if he could make such an impact back at home over a short period of years, what could the future hold for him as he was embarking on his lifelong mission? It came to a surprise to everyone when they heard that while in Egypt, Borden contracted spinal meningitis and died within a month. He first gave away his dreams to God's calling, and then when it was time, he gave away his wealth. Finally, he gave up not only his life, but the potential of everything that was yet to come. Those who knew him said he gave in such a way that was joyous and natural, not holding on to anything but God himself. It was discovered that in the back of his Bible, Borden wrote two more words. Beneath his words, no reserves and no retreats, he had written no regrets. How can anyone come to this point of their life where they can honestly declare no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets? I would like to suggest two things. Firstly, knowing the aching heart of God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Secondly, understanding how to move our worries aside to allow the peace of God rule in our hearts. Colossians 3:15 urges, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called one body." My last story of peace was in my own life, a small piece of wisdom that has helped me see God's will. While traveling out to Kamloops about a year ago, my uncle gave me this advice: if God has promised you peace, this does not mean a life free from difficulty, but rather a life free to live experiencing the difficulty while knowing a hope and Savior. If you are really struck and are having trouble making a huge, major life decision, ask yourself this: which choice is filled with the peace of God?
Thank you, Twin. How much time we got here? What time do we usually end, Pastor Larry? He's just laughing. All right, I got 10 minutes, my mom says. Do I still have to listen even though I'm my own man and I'm married? Oh, no, but he leaves his mother and father and becomes one with his wife. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, well, peace. That's exactly what I'm talking about a little bit. Peace. I feel like, yes, there's There's something that moms have that bring a peace. But I want to speak to all the women here. There's just something in my heart and in my spirit, because there seems to be a busyness, even a fear. And there's just something like God, like I honestly don't have many notes. I don't know what Simon says about, well, Chris is itching to speak or he's got a lot to say, because I really don't have much to say. You could look at my notes. I really didn't have anything till yesterday. No, Thomas, you can just sit down. I'll show you. See, not much. There's just an unsettling in some of your hearts, and I can just see it. There's pains there, and it's causing anxiety, worry. What's going to happen to my boys? What's going to happen to my girls? What's going on in my life? I can't get a hold of it. I feel like some of you have said, it's like I'm losing my mind. I can't hold on to this. You're afraid that maybe you might lose a child or might lose somebody in your life, and you're trying to hold on to them. You know, I can just see things. I don't know why I see it, but I'm just seeing it in bits and pieces of people's lives. And many people have a big decision to make. You've got health issues, job concerns, rest in their life. Interesting, we sang new wine this morning. Mindset. The oil press. The garden of the oil press. Thing doesn't come out. Oh, you're in a rough spot. When stress comes, when harshness comes, when difficulty comes, and you don't have the anointing of God and you don't have His oil in your life, you're going to get stuck and you're not going to be able to walk through the difficulty. My God promises peace. He gave me His Spirit. I have His oil of anointing over my life, in my life. And when the stress comes and that weight pushes down on my very being, I'm learning this. He's starting to flow out. And it's getting more and more. And He's a river, not a lake, but a river. He's a river flowing. It's meant for other people. It's not a lake meant to stay inside of you. So when the stress comes, when the difficulties, when the choices are there, and you're not sure what to do, and you just don't know, grasp Him. Peace, distraction, anxiety, freedom from civil commotion, mutual people. Anyone experiencing this, anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand. Oppression, confusion, chaos, disorder, discord, disharmony, distress, worry, agitation, or fighting? What's going on inside? What's in your mind? What things are in your life? What health concerns? What child concerns? Parenting concerns? We talked about husbands and wives are, it seems like the enemy's attacking them, and it's becoming single-parent homes. Children living here, living there, or with mom most of the time, or with dad most of the time, that's a stress. Unfortunately, that's going to be a continual stress in your life. If you don't have the peace of God in your life, that you won't be able to make it through. That's why people have turned to drugs, alcohol, suicide, because they don't know where to grab the hope from or the peace. So first, to have peace, you need to have peace with God. Very simple. If you haven't made peace with Him, you're going to struggle finding peace within you. Because He puts it there. It's His. He is the God of peace. Let me see. I'll give you a few scriptures here. The peace of God that passes all understanding, Philippians 4:7. Ephesians 2:14, He is our peace. Philippians 4:9, Thessalonians 3:16, He is the God of peace. The God of peace who raised the great shepherd from the dead. If you, I know some here, maybe you don't know who the Lord is. You've never made a personal commitment. You're not really sure. Or maybe you're a believer that's like, God, I just struggle at peace. This is overwhelming. Stress is inevitable. Letting it rule your life is not. That's optional. If you let the stress, if you let the anxiety overtake you, that means it's become a lord in your life and it rules over you. I have the ability in my God and in my Savior through His Spirit to overcome the stress, to walk through it, just like Christ did in Gethsemane. He walked into the garden, He took the press. Not only did He take it for Himself, but He took it for you and me. He took my stress. He bore my burden. He took my cross. He took my shame. He took my guilt. He took my sin. He took my anxiety. He took my fear. He took my hatred, my self-hatred. He took my rejection. He took it all. In exchange, I got Him. In exchange. It's not just I'll take it away. I'll take it away and give you all of who I am. In the Old Testament, they got part of Him. They saw pieces of Him. They got double portions. I serve a God that gives it all to me. All that I am. The fullness of God. The fullness of His Spirit. It's not half full. It's not a full bottle. It's an overflowing bottle. This is our God. It's not just a part of peace. It's not a piece of it. It's not a little bit. But the full measure of His peace. We get to have it. So this morning, well, I'm only 5 minutes, wasn't it? We got five more. This morning, I don't know, I'm down here because I feel like God has kept showing me. He said, just walk around. Walk around. There's people that don't have peace in their life. There's people that need a touch from my hand this morning. There's people that are just hurting. People that have anxiety. And I know that my God says, I want to lift their anxiety and I want to give them my yoke because it's easy, it's light. I want to take their burden, lift it off their shoulder. I want to give them me. This is who I am. I'm a God that's at their level. I left everything when I came. When I came and I sent my son, He left everything. And He did it in my spirit and in my power. You have the ability, church. You have this ability to live Christ-like, to be full in Him. You have this ability to walk in His Spirit, to not be afraid, to not have anxiety. He doesn't say, I'll remove the difficulty. I do know this. He'll walk with you through it. He'll make a way. He knocks down walls. That's my God. He broke the partition between the outer sanctuary and the most holy place. He ripped the curtain. He tore it in two. It was a violent, loud rip. That was about 4 inches thick curtain, and He ripped it in half. If He did that, that means He wants to be with you. He ripped down the wall. He tears down the walls of lives. He breaks the chains that are holding you back. Okay, I know this. People have chains on their feet in the spirit. They have them on their hands. They've got them in their mind. It's something that has gripped you. It's hurting your heart. It's hurting your well-being. Because another thing about that, as I began to read and just do a little bit of studying, is the word peace in the Hebrew is shalom. It's well-being. It's about being full in Him, complete in Him. Peace brings wholeness. It brings a well-being in your life. It makes you unconcerned. You're not concerned because you have the peace of God that He's walking with you. You may not know the next step, but He's with you. You don't necessarily need to know the next step. You just need to understand and trust that He's right beside you. He's in you. He's ahead of you. He's behind you. He's your rear guard. He's got His hand upon you. He's got His Spirit upon you. He's anointed you. You're full of His, full. I can't get rid of that word. It's an overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing oil that's coming out of you. And it's Him. Who cares about the clock? Because what we really need is a presence of God in our life. It's not a visitation, people. It's not just come to church and just hear the preacher speak or just hear what God has to say. But God is so desiring that habitation, that living with in your life throughout the week. That's what he wants. He desires you. He longs for you. There are moms, there's women here that have never been married. He looks at you like a man would his wife that truly loves her. There is such a gentleness in his eyes. He loves you. There's women here that are divorced. He's still gentle. He's a husband to the widow. He's a gentle man. He feels your pain. He knows the hurt if you're divorced. He knows the turmoil. He understands it. He gets it. He just wants to give you a full measure of his peace so that you can walk through that. He wants to give you a full measure of his spirit so that you can get rid of the addiction. He's a God of fullness. He's a God of wholeness. He is fully put together. He's not afraid of your problems. He's not afraid of your turmoil. He's not afraid of your disease. It doesn't come from him, by the way. Your illness does not come from him. He's not afraid of your anxiety. He's a God of order. He's not afraid of any one of you. In fact, he so longs to just have you in his presence and to be in yours. So, Pastor Larry, you said you were going to close, but I know that yourself, maybe George and Isabel, if someone, maybe you have turmoil in your life, maybe you've got anxiety, maybe you don't know who God is, and you just come here on a Sunday morning, it's like, oh, I just came because I came with some friends or so-and-so, or I don't know, maybe you're here for the first time today. There is a knocking at your door. There is a gentle wooing of my God and my Savior that longs to just say, hey, I'll walk with you. I can give you an abundant life. I can give you the ability to walk through this. Now, I don't know if the worship team, that new wine, Janae, are you okay with that? Pastor Larry, so if some people, you know what, just maybe stand up while I pray. Come on, stand up, it's okay. If you want prayer, maybe you're just going through difficulty. Maybe there's just something in your life, a healing that you need, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be mental, whatever it is. A few of us are going to just pray. Pastor Larry, George and Isabel, anyone else you feel maybe that can pray? Myself, okay. I just want to give you an invitation. Maybe you just need to, for a time, as they sing, just wrestle with the Lord right now. Because I know he's speaking to you, and I don't need to keep talking. But I know that my Savior's talking to your heart. I know that he's talking to your soul. And just know that I'm here. If you want someone to just lead you, someone to work with you, someone to pray with you, but it's not by my words, but I know it's by the Spirit of the living God that's going to set you free this morning.